have a teaching for you on faith. The title of the sermon, we're not going to have notes on the screen today. I just want you to begin with this scripture and let it soak in. It's Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want you to hear the word tonight. Because I believe with all of my heart, one of the things that God is looking to do tonight is increase the level of faith that each and every one of us have. I believe that the gift of faith is going to be poured out. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 12. I'm talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, special faith to be given to each and every one of us so that our faith will come up a level. We all could use more faith. Do you know that faith and fear cannot coexist? They are arch enemies of one another. They are the antithesis to each other. If we allow fear in, then faith cannot work. But when we have faith in God, all fear has to flee. And do you know that faith is enough? Faith is enough. So the message tonight is by faith. And I'm going to give you a bit of a teaching before we get into the heart of the message. I want you to hear this tonight, that faith is key to everything, beginning with our salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you are saved through faith. It's by the grace of God, but it's through the faith in God that salvation occurs. This is the gift of God, is how that scripture finishes. You see, this is so key for each and every one of us, that faith is a fruit of salvation in our lives. Faith is proof that we belong to Jesus. In Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. And faith is a way of life. Faith is a lifestyle. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is a life by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself as a ransom for me. Faith is what sanctifies. Faith is what cleanses. Faith is what washes. Faith is what causes a revolution to take place in our life. A 180 from where we used to be, headed in the opposite direction to where God called us to be. Acts 26:18 says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which they are sanctified by faith that is in me, says the Lord. Faith causes a 180. Faith causes a revolution. Faith causes a direct turn away from the old life and into the new life. Faith sees. Faith allows us to see that which we cannot see with our natural eyes, but we can only see with the eyes of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. But we know that we are not the blind leading the blind. We have been truly woke. You want real woke? This is real woke. You don't get more woke than being dead and now alive. Being blind and now see. You don't get more woke than when God gives you spiritual eyes to see things that you could never see. You see, maybe you're here tonight and somebody brought you and you haven't even committed your life to Jesus and you're getting a little bit frustrated with me right now. You're going to be okay, I promise. I'll be your friend. We can disagree on things and still be friends. But hear this now. I used to think so differently. I used to see everything so differently. I used to perceive everything so differently. But now I see what God sees, and I see very clearly. So I want to talk to you about how faith works. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 and 16, it says, all of the people of faith that have come before us, the hall of faith that is declared in the book of Hebrews, and especially in chapter 11, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. Though they did not receive what was promised in their lifetime, but they saw it. They saw it all from a distance, and they welcomed. What did they see? They saw the Messiah coming. Every single one of them. This is what Jesus meant when he said, I did not come to abolish the Old Testament. I came to fulfill it. Every single bit of it led you to me. They were all seeing a better way. They saw a deliverer, a king, one that would rescue them, not from the empire of Rome or from any other foreign nation, but the one that would rescue them from darkness and bring them into the light. And then we have levels of faith. There's 8 levels that I see in faith in the Word of God. And the first one is one we want to try to avoid to the best of our ability, and that is no faith. Mark chapter 4, verse 40, Jesus said, do you still have no faith? Come on, people. You got to have something. He was with his disciples. I mean, they were out on the water, and the storm was coming, and they thought they're all going to die, including Jesus. He's like, you got no faith. And the next level after no faith is little teeny itty bitty faith. But we have found out that a little bit of faith can change everything. So you got to start somewhere. Matthew 6:30, he once again chastised a crowd. Why are you so worried about everything? Why are you so worried about what you're going to eat tomorrow? Why are you so worried about what you're going to be able to wear? Don't worry about things. If my father dressed the lilies in the field, if my father gave the birds of the air all the food they could ever eat, why do you have so little faith? Then another one is not enough faith. You're almost there. You're working on it, but you haven't got there yet. And that's when his disciples went out to try to cast out a demon, and they couldn't. And they came back to him and was like, hey, we tried. We tried to do what you do, and it didn't work. This is Matthew 17, verses 19 through 20. We tried it, and it didn't work. Why couldn't we cast out that demon? And then Jesus told him, you don't have enough faith. We need more faith. And number 4 of the 8 levels of faith is enough faith. You got enough to get the job done. In Matthew 21, verse 22, says you can pray for anything. How much? And if you have faith, you will receive it. And then the next level to me is level 5, which is doubtless faith. This is Matthew 21, 21. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, you could do the impossible. You can say to this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Sometimes we're working so hard on trying to get more faith, but one of the best levels of faith is just getting doubt out. Tonight, we need doubt out of the room. We're believing God for miracles. We're believing God for deliverance. We're believing God for healings. God is willing to do it. Let's have our faith up. I believe with all of my heart that one of the major reasons why we're seeing such a move of God, especially taking place on our breakthrough services, is because the people that come to these services are hungry and thirsty for Jesus. And they've come with faith to believe. Some of y'all don't even need a miracle right now. Some of you don't even need a healing. Some of you are just here because you are believing on behalf of someone else. At the next level, level 6 is great faith. And this is where the Gentile woman wanted to have her daughter healed. And Jesus gave her a bit of a teaching about why he was here. And she said, well, even the dogs get the scraps from under the table. And Jesus in Matthew 15, 28 said, dear woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. That's what great faith does. And the seventh one is amazing. It's mind-blowing faith. In Matthew chapter 8, there's this Roman centurion that comes to Jesus and says that his servant is sick and in need of a healing. Will you come? And Jesus said, I will come. And then all of a sudden they get word that Jesus says, listen to me. The Roman centurion says, listen to me. I don't even need you to come. There's no time for that. I just need you to speak your word and it will be done. And when Jesus heard this, it says he was amazed. And he turned to all those that are following him, his disciples, and said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. That's amazing faith. And then when we get to the last level, which I believe is the hardest to achieve because it takes such a purity to lean into it. I call it radical faith. You got to be a little bit crazy. Maybe I should call it crazy faith. You got to be a little bit radical. You got to be a little bit crazy to have this kind of faith. There's these three men. They were Jewish. They were in a foreign land. And there was a statue made of gold of the king that was sitting on the throne at the time, and everybody, it was all done. All of it was done to try to get these men to renounce their faith and belief in God, the only true God. And these men did a ruse, and they got the statue up and got the king to agree that anybody that doesn't worship that false God would be killed. And then they got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they got them before it and they said, you must bow. They put on a whole feast. They had a whole band out there. They made a whole parade of it for everybody to see these three men that believed in Jehovah to refuse their God. And they refused to bow. And then all of a sudden, the king gets word of it, and they're telling him on purpose, of course. It's all a setup. They're telling him, these men refused to bow. We told you they're no good. And the king says to them, you will bow or I will heat that furnace up seven times hotter than it's ever been and will throw you in. And then here comes this radical faith. In Daniel chapter 3, we believe, they said, that our God will rescue us from that fire. But even if he doesn't, he is still God. That's radical faith. I believe for your healing tonight. Even if he doesn't, he is still God. I believe for my breakthrough tonight. Even if he doesn't, he is still God. I believe for my deliverance tonight. Even if he doesn't, he is still God. I believe by God that no matter what takes place, my God is still God. They heated that furnace up, threw him in there. And then all of a sudden, the guards that threw him in got burnt up into ash as soon as they opened the gate. And after they left him in there for a little while, the king's like, all right, go check and see what's going on. The guards came up and looked through and they said, we don't understand what is going on. We threw three men into the fire, but there were four. And the fourth looks like a god. The fourth is rejoicing with the three. Do you see, when you have radical faith, it doesn't matter what you're facing, Jesus is going to meet you in the middle of that fire. Jesus is going to meet you in the middle of that mess, and that's where my faith is at tonight. I've got some radical, crazy faith, believing for Jesus to meet you just where you are. Are you ready to continue? I just want to encourage you. As we're going to be pressing into the next part of this, just understand what God is speaking to each and every one of us. Because faith works a certain way. You must see it, then say it, then seize it, then share it. That's how faith works. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, by faith. Can we say by faith? By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that it is seen. What is seen was made from the things that are not visible. In other words, God took nothing and turned it into something. That is faith. I see it, God. Now I'm going to say it with boldness. I see my miracle. Now I'm going to say it. I see my deliverance, now I'm going to say it. I see my healing, now I'm going to say it. And then I'm going to seize it. I'm going to take action. Your action is you're here tonight. And now it's time to share it. Let's share our faith with one another, because the scripture declares we're two or three or together in his name. There he is in the midst of us. And whatever we ask of the Father in the name of Jesus, when we are gathered together like this, is the only place we can see this power in operation in the scripture. When we are gathered together and we ask the Father of anything in the name of Jesus, he will do it. For whatever you bind in earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose in earth is loosed in heaven by faith. You see, it was by faith that God's Spirit hovered over the earth and spoke life and creation by his very spoken word. It was by faith that Enoch walked this earth and it was translated up into heaven that he may not see death. It was by faith that Noah would build the ark without a single cloud in the sky. It was by faith that the crowds would scorn him and mock him for doing it. And it was by faith that he was able to save mankind. It was by faith that Moses was hid in that basket. It was by faith that he refused to be called Pharaoh's son. It was by faith that he heard God speak to him out of the burning bush. It was by faith that he led the captives free. It was by faith that they crossed that Red Sea. It was by faith that God's Christ was nailed to the cross to die for our sins. And it's by faith tonight that we will see the miracles of God work in and through our lives. It is by our collective faith joining together. And there is a heritage here. There is a spiritual genealogy to this place. I do not stand on this platform on my own. I stand on the shoulders of giant killers who have come before me. I stand with a staff and a dream team and a church family who believes that God's word is yes. And amen. The spiritual genealogy dates back to Howard Carter. If you've never heard of the man, he was a great man of God who literally followed the Holy Spirit, would take ships across the seven seas and land in nations he's never been. And God gave him a vision before he got there. And when he got there, the man in the vision would be waiting on him. He was put in prison for his faith. But it was while he was in prison that he had the understanding and revelation that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are still in operation for each and every believer today. Up until that part, cessationism had swept the world. And they believed that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit were no longer for today. And then he had a spiritual son that he mentored named Smith Wigglesworth. And this was a radical guy. He was a plumber by trade. And he was a revivalist and evangelist by night. Smith Wigglesworth, by faith, one time was reading the newspaper in the morning and read about a young man's death. And as he read about his death, the Holy Spirit whispered to him, it was not yet his time. And old Smitty said, well, God, what do you want me to do about it? I want you to walk into that funeral home and raise him from the dead. And Smith Wigglesworth walked into that funeral home. Could you imagine? Can you visualize the sight of this? You were mourning and weeping over your lost one. He doesn't say a word to anybody, walks past the crowd, snatches the young man out of the coffin, pins him to the wall. He was a big man. He pins him to the wall and he says, in the name of Jesus, live. And he lets go man falls flat. Out have been out. Audi 5000. But not Smith Wigglesworth. He picks that man back up again, puts him against the wall, and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I said, live. And for a second time, complete failure. But on the third time, when he snatched that young man up and put him against the wall, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to live. All of a sudden, breath came back into his body. His eyes were opened, and it was a documented healing that started a revival that swept all of Europe. That's faith. And Smith Wigglesworth mentored a man named Dr. Summerall. Dr. Lester Summerall, who by faith would receive the revelation that we are made in the image of God, that we are a triune being, body, soul, and spirit, made in the image of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he would take that revelation along with the gifts of the Spirit, and he would go into the jungles and into the wilderness of places that have never heard the gospel. And one of my favorite stories is he comes into a village in the Philippines. He had just had malaria, was going to die in the jungle. And the Holy Spirit said, you have faith to believe for healing in everyone else. Why don't you just pray for yourself? So he did, and he was healed. And the story just gets better. He goes into this village, and the village was ran by a witch doctor. And they put him in this little hut. And it was hot, and it was humid. And he is laying in his bed in the middle of the night in the hut, and all of a sudden, I watched a video testimony of him giving it live, and it just... on an old VHS. He said all of a sudden, the room grew as cold as ice. And his bed started to shake. And then it shook out to the middle of the floor. And he realized, the devil is at work. So he stood up and he cast that devil out in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the room went back to being hot and warm. That's faith. But here comes some crazy faith. He then looks at his bed and realizes it's not where it started. So he goes back out to the window and he says, hey, devil, get back in here. When you started this nonsense, my bed was against that wall and I want you to put it back. And the bed just shook back to the wall. The room was as cold as ice, and all of a sudden the devil, now get out, you're done now. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And Dr. Summerall poured into many pastors in our nation. And I happened to be a spiritual son to one of them. And I know that what has made this house that we love so much, is the coming together of two churches that had strengths where the other ones had weaknesses. And Wendell Smith is another one who was taught and educated and given revelation by Dr. Summerall. Oh, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that this house was built and brought together on purpose, for a purpose by God, because it has deep roots in radical faith. The building that we're in, we didn't build it. City Reach Church didn't build it. Expression Church didn't build it. Pastor Patterson and a group of people had faith. They're in the strip center that we used to be in. They had faith to build a building debt-free, bought 10 acres of land and built this debt-free, and just kept gifting it, gifted it away and gifted it away time and time again, which has given us the opportunity to be able to reach the most amount of souls we've ever reached in a year so far. I haven't got the total from the day, but I know already in this year, already the first quarter, we are already tracking over 650 people that have given their lives to Jesus. We now, yeah, come on somebody. We have received over 70 documented miracles, healings, testimonies poured in from the breakthrough services, from Sunday morning services. God is doing something in our midst, and he's doing it by faith. So I want you to have your faith up tonight. I want you to believe without fear and without doubt that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God will do it then, God will do it right now, because that's what faith is. Faith is right now kind of faith. The Bible says that faith is now. Faith is in yesterday. Faith is in tomorrow. Faith is now.